Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Herod of Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Any breaking news that happens on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Guess who joined us on The Score tonight? Join us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Fantastic show that we have in store for you this evening that my guy Adam Studzinski, a.k.a. Studs, has booked for us this evening. Gonna have Bruce Levine on in just a few minutes, talk some Cubs. We heard from Jed Hoyer today. We'll get involved with Bruce on that topic, run back some of the Jed Hoyer sound throughout the show as well. My good friend Sharky, Caitlin Sharky, will be with me later in the show also. Get the latest on what happened up at Hallis Hall and where things sit with the Chicago Bears. And speaking of the Bears, their next opponent coming up from New Orleans. The New Orleans Saints will be here, and one of their great quarterbacks and also a member of the media in New Orleans right now, Bobby Hebert, will be with us to kind of give us the Saints' perspective and what things are popping down there in NOLA. So a lot we'll get into throughout tonight's show. But since we didn't have a post-post show the last couple of weekends here, well, frankly, you know, you had the bye week, we had the Commanders game that was on Monday night, so it's been a couple of weeks aside from my appearances on the midday since I've had an opportunity to chop it up with you a little bit about where things sit with these Bears. And we'll open up the phone lines a little later in the show as well and make sure we get you guys involved in the conversation here. But just some big picture thoughts on where things sit with the Bears now at 3-2. And there were plenty of preseason predictions about where things would sit with the Bears. Some of the more ambitious predictions, if you will, had the Bears maybe being a double-digit win team, perhaps competing for the division, maybe a deep playoff run, settle for a deep playoff run. Not all the way to the Super Bowl, but maybe win a playoff game or two in Ben Johnson's first season. They just stumble out of the gate, and stumble is being kind with how things went through those first couple of games. Stumbling all over themselves, closing out that Vikings game, and then it would have been nice if they'd have stumbled in a few more tackles in that second game at Detroit against the Lions. But now here we sit, 3-game win streak, answered the bell in response against the Cowboys, and now apparently the first team in NFL history with 1-point wins by the exact same score, 25-24, a couple of games in a row, the win over the Raiders, the win over the Commanders. And coming off the bye week, that was one of the queries that many of us had about this initial foray we have into Ben Johnson as Bears coach. Ben's vision, like our guys on the afternoon show were talking about throughout the offseason leading into things. And what would this end up looking like? So it's our first time to evaluate what is Ben Johnson like off a bye, at least as the head coach. Now, we knew that last couple of years, the Detroit Lions offense, after a bye week, was lighting folks up, averaging about 44 points. I think exactly 44 points a game over the last couple of years where he led Detroit's offense coming off the bye. So that's, of course, fantastic work. Good gig if you can get it to have an offense that's scoring 44 a game off the bye. And that's certainly indicative of a play caller that's done his homework and is prepared now after that self-evaluation to be able to put his players in the most advantageous spot, studying not only your team and how you accentuate their talents, but your upcoming opponent and how you attack their weaknesses. And so we saw Ben Johnson able to do that with the Bears against the Commanders. The Commanders defense that it played well, that, you know, it had some ups and downs, a few fits and starts, but overall been a quality defense this season. The Bears offense, it had very little success running the football. Now, one of the ways the Bears that at least stood out to me that has had me encouraged, and I've been talking about it on the station throughout the season so far, where I've been encouraged with Ben Johnson, the play caller, is because for my sensibilities as an evaluator of offense, an analyst of football, if you will, we've had so many play callers in recent years in this town with the Bears that don't seem to scheme up their guys in ways that not only just, you know, have guys running scot-free, but scheme up their players in ways that make sense for those particular set of skills. And even in situations where the Bears haven't necessarily gained a lot of yards, I've seen Ben Johnson be varied with the schemes he's operated with, both in calling pass plays and, in my opinion, more importantly, in calling run plays. Because a lot of times you end up with a play caller who calls the game through the lens of how can my quarterback beat the defense with his arm? How do I call a play that schemes my receivers into advantage against the opponent? And then from there, it's up to my QB to make the play. And pretty frequently, you see people fall into this habit. A lot of you have heard me complain about this in my evaluation of frequent and recent Bears play callers, where they consistently get into the habit, even with athletic QBs, mobile QBs, running QBs, whatever term you want to use with it. But we've seen so many recent Bears play callers get into the habit of just wanting to have their QB read the full field from the pocket and carve that defense up with their arm. And then you can get all the internet QB coaches who can say, well, this guy was open and that guy was open and he didn't throw this route and how come that wasn't there? And they might be right frequently enough. But my hope, after what we'd witnessed from Ben Johnson over the last few seasons in Detroit as the Lions offensive play caller, was that he would bring the same sensibilities to Chicago that he had in Detroit, which was, how do I find moments to take pressure off of my quarterback? How do I find those moments to take pressure off of my offensive line? He's brought those same sensibilities to Chicago, and I love him for it. Because as drastic as some of the things that Ben Johnson has drawn up, as exotic as some of the play designs have been, what Ben Johnson has done best in being not only the head coach, but the offensive play caller for the Bears, is that he has yet to forget that he's got a second-year quarterback in his first year in this system, and that he's got an offensive line who's never lined up next to each other before this season. And so as talented as some of these high-dollar veterans are that are now playing on the interior of the O-line, Drew Dahlman, viewed as one of the best centers in the game. Joe Tooney, viewed as one of the best guards in the game. Jonah Jackson, viewed as one of the best guards in the game. Darnell Wright, uber talented right tackle. And then, yeah, they've been figured out left tackle. But at least four out of those five guys are viewed as really high-level talents, and in several cases, high-level players, highly productive guys, but now in their first season in Chicago in this system. But Ben Johnson has consistently, even in games where the O-line hasn't performed well, my observation and evaluation has been that we've seen, especially with run schematics and the frequency of runs called until they, you know, get down by a bunch of points against Detroit, but he's tried to call the game through the lens of taking not only physical pressure off his quarterback, Caleb Williams, but mental pressure off his quarterback and pass protection pressure off of his offensive line by the frequency of run called and by the movement of the pocket. And what we're starting to see more and more now is that Caleb Williams, you would imagine between Ben Johnson and JT Barrett, that they're continuing to remind their young quarterback to switch up the cadence, to mix up the snap count. I can think back to playing against the Indianapolis Colts offense years ago, still, you know, when Peyton Manning was still in whatever for Peyton was his physical prime, he was, of course, never as mobile as any of the last three quarterbacks we've seen the Bears invest a first-round pick in. You know, Mitchell Trubisky, Caleb Williams, Justin Fields, they'd all beat Peyton Manning in a foot race running backwards. But Peyton was mobile enough where what we saw them doing with that Colts offense was constant sprint action, boot action, hard play action, and then, yes, also the straight drop-back pass game, always paired with consistent run game as well. And Peyton was great at manipulating the snap count and the cadence, and he was a great actor to get guys to jump off sides. And a lot of those things, a lot of that variation to the offense, a lot of the versatility and multiplicity that the Colts offense had is what made it so fantastic, what made it so combustible with all those explosive plays, because the defense was constantly on their heels. Not because Jeff Saturday was blowing folks off the ball as a center, but defenses were on their heels mentally. That's what Ben Johnson has brought to this Bears offense. He keeps the opposing defense on their heels mentally. And so what we saw play out the other night was DeAndre Swift have his best game of the season, and credit to him for that. But the offensive line looked as in sync as they've looked all season. When they went zone, you saw guys moving in unison. When they went gap, you saw guys at least sticking and staying on blocks. Even if they didn't blow guys off the ball, they were getting a hat on the hat, wheeling their hips into the gap, and creating an alley that seemed to time up more consistently with DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai running the rock, getting downhill. And some of the best moments for DeAndre Swift, no surprise to me or probably to many of us, were when they got him into space, schemed him into some space in the same way that they've been able to scheme some of those other playmakers when they've utilized receivers like DJ Moore or Luther Burden into some space, Olamide Zaccheaus. There's so much versatility and variety to this Bears offense, and the anticipation is likely that that's going to continue to grow because Caleb's still figuring this thing out. The receivers are still figuring this thing out. Theo Benedet, which it was a bogus call, but took a touchdown off the board with the whole alignment thing, and I think the officials kind of, you know, I'm hoping they're revisiting that. And yes, just for folks out there who are wondering or who complained about it on social media, referees do get held accountable for those things. They get evaluated week in and week out with the calls they're making and not making, and they have to answer to folks up the executive branch, up the, you know, whatever, the NFL referees, you know, evaluators. They have people watching them, evaluating their tape, calling them into the office, having their Zoom calls and saying what you got right, what you got wrong. And, you know, they can get knocked down a peg, not get as many games, not get the same high profile of games if it doesn't feel like they're doing their job well. Didn't feel to me like they did their job well with that Theo Benedet call that took a gorgeous touchdown off the board. We're going to circle back to that a bit later in the show, though. But here through five games, what should be exciting, what's certainly exciting to me and I believe should be exciting to you as well, is that this trajectory should continue to head up. And that's exciting that you're winning games while there's still significant meat on the bone. I believe Caleb Williams will continue to get even more consistently accurate just as his wheels continue to churn a little more steadily, where he's not having to think as much, where these moments that, especially moments that are maybe second reaction or where he's having to go to the second or third read at a moment's notice and, you know, be able to react and just put the ball exactly where it needs to be. A lot of times what happens with young quarterbacks is that while they're still thinking and as they're cycling through reads in the progression, their accuracy can wane. And that to me is where Caleb's at in his development right now. But they're getting significant production from the quarterback. Hopefully they keep getting that from the run game. And a lot of credit to Ben Johnson and to the workmanlike attitude his players seem to be taking to getting the details down. A lot of encouraging things in this start to the season for the Bears. We'll come back around to some Bears talk in just a few short minutes. But as you know, unfortunately, the Cubs season came to an end a few days ago, and now we have heard from the head man. We've heard from Jed Hoyer. And Bruce Levine was, of course, there. We'll take a time out, come back. We'll talk to Bruce about where things sit now that the Cubs are officially in their offseason and what we heard from the head man today. Bruce Levine joins me next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
The crowds and the energy was amazing, and I think that it was really nice to be able to play five home playoff games. I wish we could have played a lot more, but it was nice to play five home playoff games for these fans. I feel like they deserve it always, but even more this year. I just think the way they responded to this team was great. As far as the budget stuff, you know, I haven't had those conversations yet. I think we'll sit down over the next 2 or 3 weeks and go through that. But I'm confident that we're going to have enough money to field a good team. I think that's the simplest thing I'll say. But as far as details, I don't know yet.
That was Cubs President of Baseball Operations, Jed Hoyer, with his end-of-season news conference from earlier today. A lot of folks very interested in what Jed would have to say and how it would be addressed in relation to not only what we just witnessed with the season that was, but how it will eventually impact the seasons to come. There's a lot that's swirling around in the baseball space. So let's go out to the Circus Sports Illinois hotline and get my guy Bruce Levine involved in this conversation. Bruce, of course, covers baseball here, baseball analyst at The Score. You can also see him on the Marquee Sports Network. Find him on social media at MLB Bruce Levine. Bruce, what's happening tonight? How you doing?
Anthony, we didn't hear him say, yeah, we'll have enough money, but not as much as the Dodgers. So we did not
left
hear him
out.
Say that, right? Yeah. And you know, and it's certainly, you don't have to spend $350 million like the Dodgers do, okay? You can win another way, and the Dodgers haven't won yet, but most people are already conceding the second world championship in a row to them after them going up 2-0, going home to face the Brewers for the next two or three. So, I mean, look, I think the Dodgers are something for everyone else to shoot for as far as trying to beat them. You're never going to beat them money-wise because of their TV money. They get $300 million a year just from their TV money, which is insane. And then they average 47,000 people a night, which is, you know, nobody's close to that. So you're not going to beat them money-wise, but you can do what the Cubs are trying to do, what the Brewers have been doing, and that is sign, develop, and put the right leader in and try to win that way.
Well, they say scared money don't make money, Bruce. But hopefully smart money can still end up leading to championships. That's the hope for the Cubs. But
I'm using that. I'm taking that.
Yes, you can coin that. I just made that up off the dome, Bruce. But I do want to talk to you about things that Jed covered today. But this is my first opportunity, of course, to talk to you since the season ended. And just take me back to after all the off-season acquisitions were made, we're through spring training. And I'm just curious for what your, after sort of knowing the roster as it was set then, what were your expectations? What did you view as reasonable expectations for the Cubs? And now that the season is over, do you feel like they fell short of them, met them, or exceeded them?
Honestly, I thought win the division, win 90 games, and we'll see after that. And honestly, it's never enough, you know, when you're a Chicagoan, but for me, I think they hit right where they were supposed to be. You know, I mean, there were two runs short of advancing, three runs short of advancing to the NLCS. And, you know, I mean, I think they're as good as any other team out there, but not the Dodgers. So, you know, maybe a little bit disappointed, but I think overall, Anthony, I think they had a really good season. I thought it was a tremendously entertaining team. A tremendously well-run team, was organized from get-go. You know, they improved by 9 games in the standings. You know, the fans, you know, Chicago fans, to me, just the Cub fans outdid themselves, right? I mean, just the way they took this team to another level in the playoff rounds. So I think everybody should be kind of happy about it. I don't think you're ever happy when you haven't won, when you haven't gone to the World Series, when you haven't won it. But honestly, I think it was a good year for the Cubs.
And it was so fun just, of course, hearing you on the station here and post-game celebrations. You know, listen, I was driving and listening to you and David Hall going back and forth with some celebrations and everything. I mean, it was really cool, the coverage here on the station. And you, of course, did fantastic work with all that.
And
for the amount of home games, a handful of home games that the Cubs were able to add to the postseason coffers, I've actually been a little bit surprised that it seems like, especially just today since some of Jed's comments, do you get the impression and is it reasonable to expect that just a handful of additional home games impacts the finances enough where that'll be a positive boost to how the Cubs spend this offseason?
So, Anthony, here you go. The first two games of every series goes the receipts from the game go totally to the players and the Players Association. And that goes for their funding for the playoffs and the splitting up of hundreds of thousands of dollars throughout. You know, somewhere along the line, the Cubs will you know, get, I don't know, $100,000 a man just for making the division series and getting wiped out. But the World Series winners this year will probably end up with about $450,000 and $500,000, somewhere around there, a player. And that includes all the shares that they split up with personnel among them as well. You know, the trainers, you know, all the staff, they give out cash awards to other people. So the first two games of every playoff series for Major League Baseball goes strictly to the players. So that people should know. Mm-hmm. The rest of it goes to the teams, and they split it 50-50. So it's not going all into the Cub coffers. That said, there is more money for them from the five games that they played at home and the other games, the three games that they played against Milwaukee. So there's money there. I don't know if it's Kyle Tucker or Kyle Schwarber type money, but there's money there.
The Kyle Tucker type money, you know, there was a point, of course, early in the season where he looked like he was going to be, his performance would be worth virtually any dollar amount someone could imagine, you know, paying a free agent. And between the injuries and, you know, perhaps some of the back and forth with the team, some of the cloak and dagger with what the injury was, and being willing to try and fight through it, and his production seemed to suffer greatly from it. So how do we evaluate what the actual value on the free agent market will be for Kyle Tucker?
Well, it'll be high because he's a quality, high-quality player. He's had two injury-prone seasons that back him up a bit. Now, this was his last year of playing without going to free agency. He made $15.5 million. So the common number for a star hitter like him will be $30 million plus. Anthony, if I would tell you the Cubs offered him $120 million for 3 years this offseason, mm-hmm. would you, as Kyle Tucker's agent, accept that?
Oh, honestly, no, I wouldn't.
Okay. Is that an opt-out for each year?
Oh, now, okay. Talking opt-outs. All right. Okay.
So that's exactly what Alex Bregman did with the Red Sox this year. He signed a three-year, $120,000 contract, $40 million a year, with opt-outs every year, and he's opting out. He told everybody yesterday mm-hmm. he's opting out. Okay? He's older by 3 years than Kyle Tucker.
Right.
Kyle Tucker will play next year in July at 29. He'll go into the season still 28. Age matters, right? So, yeah. You know, they always say that your prime years are between 28 and 32. So, again, I'm asking you, the agent for Kyle Tucker, are you giving him that money, or are you flipping and going, you know what? We just heard that Cody Bellinger is going to be a free agent. Let's go back to him and give him a similar offer. So, as we know, he signed originally with the Cubs with a three-year, $30 million deal with an opt-out. He was traded in the second year to the Yankees last year. The Cubs dumped that $30 million out and decided to spend in other ways. They didn't really get much back. The pitcher that they got was released early in the year. So, again, are you knowing that Bellinger is a really good player coming off of a good year, are you more interested in signing Bellinger for maybe a little less, maybe a similar deal again, or are you going for Tucker?
I believe the Cubs, in the position they're in, are perhaps more likely to go after Bellinger because he won't be the most well-regarded free agent on the market. That's likely going to be Kyle Tucker, right?
Yeah. Well, he's going to be there with Bregman, and there'll be a few others, but not many. You know, Bichette with the Blue Jays, their shortstop's going to be a free agent. The Cubs have a shortstop. If you could talk Bichette into playing third base, you know, he's led the league in American League in hits three times over the last 5 years. Terrific ball player, pretty young still, I think 28, 29. those are some of the people that are going to be out there. So again, what do you need? And knowing that Wrigley Field is not playing to the type of ballpark it was before the last 2 years, that it's a hard ballpark to hit home runs in, are you going after more of the Nico Horner type player? The player like Bichette, who hits 40 doubles, 20 home runs, gets 180 to 200 hits. Are you going that direction, trying to convince him that playing third base for the Cubs is the ideal place to go on a long-term deal?
And as you – I like the observation. I've heard you make the Nico observation before as well, just where offensively he's perhaps a bit undervalued in the modern game because there's not the same power, there's not the same OPS as some of the tops in the game. But for a guy who, in key and critical moments, you can just count on him getting on base and you get plus gold glove caliber defense, then it's almost a bit of a throwback to his value. And it seems that the Cubs are structuring a bit of a throwback in that way as well, with some of the contracts that aren't completely up yet, but players who would be up for some form of extension. Who tops that list? Is it Nico? Is it PCA? Is it someone else from an extension perspective?
Well, there's a lot of areas where they're going to need to spend money. You know, Hap is going into his last year. Nico's going into his last year. There will be Seiya going into his last year. There are pitchers like Boyd going into his last year. Tyone going into his last year. Kelly, the catcher, going into his last year. So there is a lot of money to be spent. However, there's that one thing blocking everybody's mind right now, and it's convoluting everything, and that is in December of 2026, Anthony, the collective bargaining agreement ends. Yeah. And the perspective we've been hearing out there, the rhetoric, the noise, the white noise, has been mostly there's going to be a work stoppage and there's going to be a lockout or a strike because they're not going to agree on a new deal without a salary cap. So that is the noise out there. I don't know if the players or owners really have the gumption to miss long periods of time or an entire year. I think people proved to baseball during 2020, when there was no baseball except for 60 games, that they found other things to do with their summer. So that's a dangerous game to be able to play if you're going to miss significant time during a baseball season.
Yeah, it's asking a lot for folks to sort of step away from it and then get their interests elsewhere during a time of year where weather's nice most places, and you're going to have that opportunity to pursue other things if you would like. But as we've seen in the past, while the baseball fandom can be a bit tenuous, then folks find their way back once things really start getting exciting.
Look, I think it's only fair that I let you ask me a question before you let me go.
I feel like that's fair.
The
Shota Imanaga contract, we've seen some reports come out about some of the various levels to it, if you will. Can you explain to me the opt-ins, the opt-outs, and how that works?
So he has a $15 million option that he has to say yes to, first of all. If he says yes to that, then the Cubs have $47 million option that goes over 3 years that they can also activate, right? If he says no, then they can talk about other contracts here. But basically, it's going to be a cat and mouse game to see what he does. By 2 days after the World Series, all of these clauses and contracts have to be taken or not taken. So we're going to know really fast after the Dodgers beat the Mariners in the sixth game of the World Series. We're going to know really fast whether Imanaga is coming back or not.
Bruce, the offseason should be an exciting one. Is there a general sense for the level of aggression that Jed Hoyer and the Cubs are prepared to operate with? It's one thing to say, we're going to spend enough to be competitive. Well, you just did that this past year. But what type of aggression do you expect?
the aggression toward another power arm in the rotation and more bullpen guys. So three of their veteran bullpen guys are free agents, and they were significant, okay? Thielbar, Keller, and I'm missing one. Thielbar, Keller, and one more are free agents this year. And they're all I'm sorry, it's Pomerantz. And they were all significantly important to the Cubs this year. But they're also all over 35. Thielbar is going to be playing at 40. So, and again, they were excellent. The Cubs don't win without that bullpen. But are you bringing them back? You're going to offer them a one-year deal, a two-year deal? Are they going to get better deals somewhere else? So that's they're going to have to address that bullpen. They have some young arms. Certainly, Palencia is coming along and showing signs that he's going to be an important bullpen guy for a while with his 102-mile-an-hour fastball. But, again, addressing pitching, number one for the Cubs, position player-wise, you know, another hitter to either – it's either Tucker or replacing Tucker. You know, I think, again, you know, it's 90 games or bust. You got to win 90 games, and I think that's what they'll be looking at.
We're going to be looking pretty closely, too. We know you will, as you always do, Bruce. Great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking the time.
Anthony, always a pleasure. Have a great night.
There's Bruce Levine, our baseball analyst, covering both the Cubs and the Sox for 670 The Score. You can also see him on the Marquee Sports Network and hear him on social media at MLB Bruce Levine. We return. We'll get into some football conversation. There is a storyline that I think is enjoyable for the moment. But in quick fashion, on a short week, I'm going to need the Bears locked back in here. I'll tell you what I mean next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence Data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I saw you said somewhere today that you caught a little bit of the TV copy of the second half. Did the tone of coming from the color analyst there surprise you?
Maybe I just had it on mute.
It sounded like you heard some of what they said.
Yeah. No. Listen, you you want respect in this league, you got to go earn it. And so that's where we're at right now. We need to go earn that respect from not only the rest of the teams in the NFL, but everybody. So that's where we are.
You're listening to Score Evenings, weeknights 6 to 9.
Getting back into some football talk here on The Score. I am Anthony Heron, my guy Studs on the ones and twos. And football talk on The Score is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Well, what got started on Monday night continued in its conversation here into the week a bit. Here we are at Wednesday, and some Bears personnel still being asked about the commentary from the game analyst. You heard Patrick Finley talking to Ben Johnson as he addressed the media yesterday about his team's performance on Monday Night Football. Bears quarterback Caleb Williams has now had an opportunity to respond about this as well. There was an Instagram post that some of you may have seen that Caleb put out yesterday. Part of it included the quote, "It was lucky," that came from Troy Aikman, but had a thumbs up from now Bears kicker Jake Moody with a Bears logo on there. It's a very cute post from Moody's Michigan career. So Caleb heard it. Ben heard it. Now here's Caleb being asked about what he heard.
So I was scrolling through Instagram yesterday and noticed you made a reference to maybe a broadcaster calling a play lucky.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of kind of the TV copy or whatever you saw?
Yeah, it's fun. Fun trolls. I was messing around. DeAndre made a great play. And, you know, obviously he had some stuff to say about us or me. We came out victorious in the end. So made a little fun moment of it, and that was about it.
And how do you differentiate between kind of fair criticism and something that maybe you don't think?
Yeah, I could care less. It's kind of how I think I've said multiple times over my time being here. Fair, not, life isn't fair. People are going to say what they have to say. We win, we lose. People have stuff to say. It was lucky. It was not lucky. People have stuff to say. Have a bad game, have a good game. You know, people have stuff to say. So it doesn't matter. We're only worried about what's going on here within this building and with these guys. So that's all I can say about that.
And using it as motivation, or is it anything that's...
Yeah, I think you always kind of use those. I mean, when you're in a competitive situation, like coaches or, you know, myself or other teammates, that, you know, when people have stuff to say about you, and whether it's that week or, you know, a whole year or, you know, whatever case may be, I think you do use it as a little bit of fuel, as a little bit of motivation. I think that's always a part of it as a competitor, that goes along. But you don't put too much into it to where it affects you negatively.
I keep harping on it, but I guess I am. Aikman did say, one of the things that he said a couple times during the broadcast was that needing to put the receiver in a better position to have yards after the catch, not just completing it. Fair criticism or not?
Yeah, I think that's always always something. Every game you play, you know, you always want to be able to put your receiver in the best position. That doesn't always happen. You try and give him at least a catchable ball. You try and give him a catchable ball. At the maximum, you want to give him the best ball so he can go run. I think there was opportunities for that. I think there was opportunities that we missed. I think there was opportunities that we'll hit. It's still our fifth game that we just played. It's early. Getting in rhythm with everybody. It's a long season, and you don't necessarily, you want to catch fire a little bit later in the season. Obviously, you work and, you know, you want to catch fire as soon as possible, but you want to make sure you're hitting strides at the right time and the right, you know, right peak of the season to get rolling towards the end of the year. We're 3-2 versus a very, very good team, as all of us know. And, you know, like I said, everybody has things to say, and that's great. And like I said, I could care less, and we're 3-2.
Caleb, when you have a session, to continue on this.
Did you meet with Troy last week leading up to the game?
I did not. Stuff, or? I did not. I didn't get to meet with him. Tried to meet with him, and then reached out and tried to meet, and you know that didn't happen, and so moved on from it. Went and played the game and came out 3-2.
Why did you not meet with him?
I was here late and timings didn't meet up, lifting or whatever the case may have been. And then tried to call him after the game, and or not after the game, after the day, that day that, you know, I was supposed to meet with him, and it didn't get through.
Well, that was Caleb Williams addressing quite a litany of questions about the commentary from Troy Aikman about him, his performance, the Bears as a team. You throw the word lucky out there, and like I referenced to Spiegel and Holmes in transition, I call a lot of games, and you're reacting, especially when you're the analyst, like a TV football analyst. There's so much that's just happening in the moment, and you're trying to use the best words you can to describe not only what you're seeing analytically, but from a former player or coach perspective, which is normally who the analyst is on a sports broadcast, and few have done it at a higher level or with more success than Troy in his playing career. He's been an analyst for a long time. To throw the word lucky in there for the DeAndre Swift play, and I normally try to be, just even in my, when I'm watching it, I usually watch a game. I try to do it through the lens of like, okay, it's going to be imperfect. Just the words that come out of your mouth, the telestration, are you drawing, you know, something in the right way with the X's and the O's and the lines and everything else. I make mistakes during broadcast myself all the time. I usually try to be deferential enough to not use the word lucky when someone executes a play that was an accurate throw, quality catch, break a tackle, run after catch, and go for a touchdown. I don't know that lucky is the word that Troy would choose if he went back and did it again, but there was, of course, a lot of reaction throughout the game just for the tone, comparing how he was describing things from the Bears with the tone of how he described things with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders. My hope, Studs, is that maybe this is kind of over at this point, and Caleb and Ben, and I mean, the Chicago media doesn't need to move on until they're told to do so. So I'm hoping that we kind of get some sort of a punctuation, a period at the end of this sentence, and get on to some Saints conversation if I'm Ben and Caleb. Because from here, it doesn't really serve either one of them. But what did you think about just kind of the way Aikman sounded during the game and this kind of continuing to be a story, Studs?
I'll start with Aikman during the game. I don't know. I kind of, when it did seem like he kept harping on the same stuff, even when there's a couple times I felt like it wasn't quite, like I was like, okay, you're maybe being a little, like, nitpicky, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so it seemed like he had one thing in his brain that he wanted to get across during the broadcast, and he kept bringing it up. I was like, give me something more here, man. So, but I didn't, usually I'll pick up on stuff during a broadcast, whether it's Bears game or not, and I'll just kind of move on after the game, mm-hmm. because it, for the most part, the commentary doesn't, unless we're pulling something that we want to use for a show here,
right?
And usually that's like analytical. It's not that there wasn't some analytical stuff in there from Aikman that was useful for us. There was. Now, as far as it still being a story on Wednesday, 2 days after the game, I think it's dumb. I personally, if it was me, and you know, I'm not up there at House Hall, I'm not the one asking questions, I would not be asking questions about Troy Aikman today. I just wouldn't be. I'd be, you know, I wouldn't have asked it yesterday. I know that Ben kind of made it a story by bringing it up on the coach's show yesterday, or seemingly bringing it up. So that's, okay, like, ask Ben about it. You kind of have to at that point, and then let's move on. That's me personally. I think it's dumb. I understand that it's out there, and people are being really critical of Aikman and on Bears Twitter. That's what Bears Twitter does. They're extremely defensive.
I understand. Yeah. I understand them asking Ben and Caleb about it because Ben kind of turned it into a thing yesterday. And so now it feels like fair game for the
right. And yeah, you had to ask Caleb. You had to ask Caleb a little bit today. Mm-hmm. So you're right. You're right about that. You had to finish the circle, but I think we've completed the story arc here, and we can move on.
Yeah. And I certainly hope that we're going to see Ben and Caleb here. Ben and Caleb both move on. We'll hear from Ben again as he addresses the media later in the week about the New Orleans Saints, but feels like we've all been able to enjoy this for the moment. If they did say something inflammatory again, or if like Troy Aikman claps back publicly or something like that, which I'd be surprised if he did, but who knows? Yeah, he's Troy Aikman. But maybe it'll continue to circulate. So we'll follow it closely. Well, I know one individual who was there today as Caleb was being asked about that and all the other things. Caitlin Sharkey of WGN, my old partner at Fox 32. It's Sharkey time next on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport? Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.